Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trundy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Happy NAIDOC to you all, you deadly mob. Thank you for tuning in to National Talk Black. All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. All right, now, reaching through time, look, a fantastic story, weaves together Australian history in such a balanced and honest way, all the way from depossession and frontier violence to the Aborigines Protection Board's a harsh regime on the reserves and surprising acts of kindness to decades of activism. We're talking about The Reaching Time by Shauna Bostock, and got sister on the line, author of this fantastic book. And going to have a yarn with her. Shauna, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Trevor. And yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program.
Are you well?
I'm good. Yes, sister. All good. Every day by bread's a good day. Yeah, can you hear me, sister?
Are you good?
Yeah, can you hear me? Hello, sister. You there, sister? Shauna, hello. Shauna? No, Shauna. I can hear you, Shauna. Couldn't hear me. We'll get you back and we'll continue our yarn, or open up the yarn. We haven't had the yarn yet. And talking about, look, the story of Shauna's life, her journey, to uncover her family history. She's published right in the middle of NAIDOC week, so fantastic, good timing, and that was her goal. Shauna has worked tirelessly over the past 13 years to trace her ancestors' lineage all the way from colonisation through to present day, and the narrative that she has arrived is a tireless exposition of the cataclysmic impact of colonisation of Aboriginal families. Look, a fantastic story, and like, we need to find connection, and I think that's Shauna on the line there. Shauna, good morning. Can you hear me, sis?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Good.
That's great.
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Very excited.
Thank you, sister. And before we start, let the mob know who you mob. Were you from, Shauna?
Oh, I'm from Bundjalung, but I have some Mananjali and Yugambeh in me as well.
Beautiful. Well, lovely footprint. Thank you very much. And look, happy NAIDOC.
Yes, happy to you too.
And congratulations. Reaching through time. So a journey to uncover your family history, and publishing right in the middle of NAIDOC. So good timing. Time is everything in life. And you were so tired.
We didn't even know about that. We didn't even realise until after the publishing.
There you go. It was meant to be, sister. It was meant to be.
Meant to be, all right.
Exactly. So tell us about your story, your lineage, and finding your connection right back through your family, back to, severe during stolen generation and back to the disposition and frontier violence. Tell us the story, please, Shauna.
Okay. Well, my book called Reaching Through Time is about my family history research. I'm Bundjalung, and mostly Bundjalung. What happened was I traced my family history of my four Aboriginal grandparents' family lines. Mum and Dad Aboriginal, got four Aboriginal grandparents, and I traced their family lines as a genealogist back to arguably colonisation of northern New South Wales. It was just a little bit after. But, on Bundjalung country. So I traced the family lines back, and I was doing that. And then one day out of the blue, my Uncle Jerry called me and said, late at night, and from Sydney, and I live in Brisbane.
Yes.
And I just thought, oh, hello, somebody's died.
What we always think, don't we?
Yeah, superstitious. Yeah, he rang up and said, oh, I met this white woman. Her name was Thelma Bostock. Mm-hmm. And I met her. That was her maiden name.
Yes.
She's a white woman. She's like in her late 70s. And she's researched the Bostock family history back to the 1600s in England. You'll never guess who our ancestors, the white ancestors, were. And I said, who? And he said, they were slave traders. And then he had this really deep belly laugh, and he just laughed and laughed, and he said, those white fellas in the, must be rolling in their graves, knowing we turned out to be a mob of black fellas.
Exactly. That's true. That's the bloodline. That's the bloodline. It is what it is.
Yeah. Hello. there's so many references to slavery and all that in the book. But basically, that was just like a curiosity bomb went off with me, and I just went, wow, because we always knew that we got the Bostock name from Augustus John Bostock, a white man who went to Bundjalung country in the 1800s, and he married an Aboriginal woman from Wollumbin Mount Warning.
But he would stem from England, his family.
Yes. They did. There was Thelma traced the family line back to the late 1600s in England, so they were to an ironmonger called Jonathan, and Jonathan had Peter had Robert, and Robert had Robert. The two Roberts were slave traders, so there's two generations of slave traders, and they ran ships down to Sierra Leone and then across to the Americas for slave trading in Cuba. Yeah. And then Robert Jr. got arrested, and he was one of only two men ever transported to the colony for slave trading. And then that's where our family line begins. His grandson was Augustus John, and from some time in his life, Augustus John went up to Bundjalung country and married, had relationships with, married my great-great-grandmother and had another relationship with another Aboriginal woman. Both of those relationships have children, descendants. So
they say once you go black, you won't go back.
That's what they say.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, so I don't know if he had two Aboriginal wives at the same time, but definitely had relations with them and children with them. So, and then I just came forward in history. I went back as far as I could in all the four Aboriginal family lines, and then I moved forward. And then I knew that I was onto something big, something really big. And I knew that our Indigenous authors were really getting a hard time by mainstream media and people not believing our history and questioning people's authenticity and all that sort of, rubbish.
Rubbish.
So what I did was, So I knew that I had to go to PhD to do it properly. I knew that I had to learn how to research and write like an academic to prove our history,
exactly.
To actually prove it with archives.
Yep.
And so I went all the way to PhD to do it. I was already a primary school teacher, so I just did two more degrees and learned how to research properly. And
good
I got access to a lot of archives.
Yes. And look, fantastic. And it is your history. Like, we're always talking about connection and finding your true connection. Now, it is what it is, whether it be black or white, that's your lineage. And it is. And you are who you are today. And good on you for doing that. So what did your parents think? And have you got siblings? What was their thought process?
Oh, I only had one surviving parent. My mother passed in 2017 while I was doing my PhD.
Okay.
And Dad's been cheering along the sidelines. Ooh. And I just had my book launch last Saturday, and three of the greatest history professors in the country came. Professor Peter Reed, who coined he brought out the Stolen Generation information in 1981. And Professor Anne McGrath and Professor Jackie Huggins. Jackie Huggins is now an honorary professor at ANU.
Yes.
So I had my rock stars of history there. But it's a really important book. It's a multi-generational book about my family history. But as a PhD historian, I've placed it within the context of Australian history,
yes,
so that you can see what was happening around, you know, on the landscape and in politics at the time of each of the ancestors that I focus on. And I move through the chronology all the way through to the present day. So my thesis for the PhD was called From Colonisation to My Generation, an yes. Aboriginal Historian's Family History Research Past to Present.
Mm.
But the book, which Alan and Unwin wanted to be a narrative for the general reader, is exactly what I wanted, because
yes.
just so many people do not know the truth about Aboriginal history.
And let the truth be told.
Let the truth be told. Well, this is a really big truth-telling book. Mm. I got access to archives that nobody's seen before, and they're the Aborigines Protection Board archives. And so I show them
Good.
To the reader, and I, Good. You know, that the reader can read the things that the Aborigines Protection Board said about my family members
yep.
and
yep.
other Aboriginal people. And I tell the reader all about the managed reserve systems on Aborigines reserves and missions,
mm.
how the Aborigines Protection Board ran the reserves, and how they were controlling mm. Aboriginal lives, and they had Aboriginal people under surveillance all the time.
Yes.
And I really do show the reader how parasitic the government was, and how, you know, in using their money to manage Aboriginal people, and having this great big bureaucratic office with so many people on this board,
mm.
and they were just making decisions from Sydney about people's lives on country.
Exactly.
And, you know, well, they can move here, they can move there.
And to them, it's just a piece of paper. It's just filing cabinet. That's all it is. But there's actual people
yeah.
in the process, moving, separating, yeah, being murdered,
yeah.
slave, what have you.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shocking read for people who don't know anything about Aboriginal history, but it's
sure.
eye-opening. And
yep.
I want people to understand, like non-Indigenous people,
mm.
that, you know, this history creates strong emotions at times, but I tried to
mm.
create a balance. So I
but
make
Australia's
sure
got a history, Shauna, good or bad, black or white, but the history is a history.
Yeah.
And as you said, let the truth be told. And there it is in regard to your lineage.
Yeah, but it's this multiple,
yes.
multitude of stories that go
of
with
course.
It, you know. And
of
not
course.
not all white fellas on country were bad guys.
Sure, sure.
There were people that certainly helped and supported
mm.
Aboriginal people and were humane with Aboriginal
yes.
people. But there's also government bodies and
mm.
other people that were racist and inhumane with Aboriginal people.
Yes.
So I've got a good balance in the book of stories from both sides, and I want to show that,
yeah.
I want to tell people, especially your listeners,
yes.
that this book is not going to smack people over the head with sadness, gloom, doom and misery. There's some funny stories in it.
Of course.
There's some sad stories. There's some happy stories. There's some stories about my Indigenous ancestors standing in their own power
mm.
and other Aboriginal people thwarting the efforts of the Aborigines Protection Board to control them and winning,
yeah.
you know. And so I came to the end of the book and I explained that I was finding out about their lives
mm.
was liberating, because I could see how powerful they were. They weren't victims of history. Sometimes they were. The history was terrible and oppressive
sure.
at some stages.
But we rose above it. We rose above it. We still exist. We're here.
We're here. We're survivors.
Yes.
We're survivors, Trevor. And so, yeah, I find these stories so powerful and so uplifting
mm.
that I have a whole new view of Aboriginal history now. And I stand up and applaud my ancestors
yes.
for their courage and bravery and valiantly fighting for equality in this country.
And by you finding your story, and we're talking here on National Talk Black, goes across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, it may inspire other brothers and sisters to do the same. But even our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well. Find your linkage.
Oh, that's exactly right. I think family history just came into the scholarly world as a you know, a burgeoning field of study, because years ago people used to think that family history was an amateur thing, but now historians are doing it and doing it really well. It's really shining, and I think that a lot of people are going to be motivated to say, well, where did my family come from?
Exactly.
And look it up. And the book is about my journey. I don't tell you the history. I tell you about how I found out stuff and how it led to this.
It's a pathway. Yes, exactly.
It's all about my research journey, and I think people are going to be really motivated to say, well, if she did it, so can I.
Exactly. Now, Shawnee, your book is out now. People can purchase it. Where can they purchase it from?
They can get it from Big W, Dimmicks, you know, all the major stores.
Okay.
And if a store doesn't have it, they can ask the store to order it in. Alan and Unwin, the publishers, just told me they've got plenty of stock.
Good.
And they've sent them all over the country to the main bookstores. But if you can't find it, ask them to bring it in for you.
Exactly.
It's readily available. And today is the release date, so today it goes into the shops.
Reach out to it. Check with your news agency or your bookstores. Reaching Through Time is the name of the book. Congratulations, my sister, and thank you very much for sharing and inspiring our people about finding their connection.
Phil. Oh, thanks a lot for having me, Trevor. Really appreciate your time. Thanks.
You keep smiling, my sister, and all the best. And happy NAIDOC, Shawnee.
Oh, happy NAIDOC to you too. Thanks, Trevor.
Take care, sis. Bye-bye. Adele Yarn, beautiful yarn there. Shawnee Bostock, her name is, author of the book Reaching Through Time, and is how a Bundjalung woman traced their ancient history from frontier violence right to through to 2023. So, look, we're always talking about finding connection. That's in depth, and that's right to the bone, even back through colonisation, and even back through finding that her ancestors were slave traders. There you go. Hence the name Bostock. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. And have your saying, Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Happy NAIDOC, you mob, and a happy NAIDOC to beautiful Samantha in WA. Hope you're well, my dear. And her beautiful son, who's a carer, John, hope you're well. And to all our First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, happy NAIDOC and Deadly Black Network. Keep doing what you're doing, you mob. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416.
People together, yeah. I'm looking across this land. Reminds me of a place so far away, far from here. I see rivers, I see valleys. Come take me away, far from here. Take me home.
Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. And Daily Track there with Blind Man by Family Shoveler Band. Have your say, yarn up strong. We're going across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And we're based at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumba Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And a beautiful network it is, and a beautiful tool, voice, platform. Have your say and yarn up strong. We're talking about Happy NAIDOC to you all first. And we're talking about voice, but here's a story from the Advertiser. It should be a celebration, but the voice debate is hard to ignore. This week, NAIDOC Week, writes Douglas Smith. NAIDOC Week is to showcase, celebrate Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander excellence. But this year's theme for our elders makes one issue hard to ignore. It is NAIDOC Week, and this year the theme is for our elders. At a moment in history when the deafening debate on the voice to parliament is happening, it is hard not to think about the atrocities and struggles our elders endured so that this generation could be afforded the opportunities we have today. I hate to do this, writing about or even mentioning the voice during NAIDOC Week, because the true purpose of this week is to showcase, celebrate Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander excellence. But while the purpose of National Week is to celebrate what is good about First Nation people in Australia, I cannot help but think about the bad that was forced upon us, our elders, especially given this year's theme and the political debate on our future. There would be no black excellence in this day and age if we were not for the fight that our elders took upon themselves, a fight against racism, for better treatment and a fairer go. Elders and ancestors had their voice taken away from them. They were forcibly silenced and denied their culture, their language, and their basic human rights, stripped of their land, their dignity, and stolen as children. They experienced all the worst of what this country had to offer, and still they managed to survive and hold on to what little part of culture they had left so they could pass it on to the next generation. You cannot imagine just how important that has been for our people in this day and age to still have our culture and opportunity to practice it. But while we have that opportunity for many First Nations across the land, we are only in the rebuilding stages, rebuilding our culture, our language, and everything else that was stolen from us. Yes, there are many opportunities for First Nation people in Australia today, more than there were 30 years ago. When I was born, that was not meant that we are over the hill yet. There's still a long way to go. It continues to be a struggle and fight for across the country in every community, and the gap remains far and wide. I grew up around my old people. My grandparents raised me. I was with them every day, and I was always surrounded by other elders, many who have passed away now, including my grandparents. Nothing was ever handed to them, but instead it was taken away, and they had to fight to get it back. But they were not able to get it all back. The disruption of their way of life since colonisation and what followed continues to harshly affect our communities. The unfair treatment is something you still see in Australia today, which brings me back to the violence debate and the voice debate and what it might mean for the future generations. When it comes to voting at a referendum later this year, I will think about my old people and ask myself, what would they do? I wish my grandparents were still here today so they could tell me, but I have to make that decision on my own now. They taught me a lot about the world and how it changed, and many of them where they were taken away. I have to think about and remember them teachings and what they pass on to me, and that I make the right choice for the people. I encourage all other First Nation people to do the same. Whether it's a voice or not, what I believe my generation and the next would benefit from in 2023, Australia is having the ability to be strong in both culture and Western education. We need to be strong in both worlds so that we can walk tall and proud. And I'm fortunate that my grandparents were able to provide me with that opportunity. But growing up, it was not a common thing for many of my relatives. There are still many in my community back home and many other communities across Australia that have been left behind, who continue to fail, to fall through the cracks. Governments past and present have been unable to better our situation because they made all the decisions without our input. What my elders have taught me is that we have our own way of life and living, and only we know what is best for us. We are still fighting for the right to have a bigger say for ourselves. I draw my strength from my elders and think about the sacrifices they have made and continue to make so that I am afforded what I am today. Is not something I take for granted. So while I have the opportunity now in this column, I'd like to say thank you to all our elders far and wide across the land. To me, your sacrifice will not be in vain. And that's from The Advertiser. And look, it's about the voice. It's a referendum. We all have to vote black and white. But to paint the picture, when we talk about a voice to Parliament, it's a committee that has a seat at the table. That's all it is. And then we help the government with the decisions on what needs to be done in regarding our people. So we have no power. So for those you may think that we may have a power, we're First Nation people, land was stolen off us, so we're going to go to your house, kick you out of your house, get the house, get our land back. Nothing like that. We're just helping decisions being made at the Parliament level. That's all it is. Do not complicate it. Keep it simple. But until we vote, I think in October, you can go to different meetings, voice the campaign, yes to campaign, and have the Q&A. Have your questions answered. And we've got the solutions to our problems. But it's about communication and getting educated. You only know what you know. And we need to travel with an open mind to get educated in that field. So that's the information there regarding voice, and we'll always be talking about that. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Mm-hmm. since she was 17. Going out and smoking weed with the dope fiends. In her face, she just follows all her friends, see. Started hanging with these older kids, I let her be. But watched her closely, since she was caught up with the fun. Didn't know where she'd begun. Now she's been with off the man who's already got a son. He was 35, she was still a teen. He had her sniffing, fucking drinking every day of the week. About 5 months in, that's when she gets shot back. Since she's losing her mind because she's smashing these bags. And her man can't provide for these habits she had. So she starts stealing money from her dad. She's off again, no talking to friends. She always pretends that she's living good and happy.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarning up strong here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. And I believe we've got Murray on the line from WA. Murray, good morning. How are you?
I'm always good when I talk to you, Trev. How are you?
Hey, Delhi, my brother. How are you travelling?
I'm not too bad. I haven't spoken to you for a while. But,
good.
I've given up work up north and I'm back down at home in Perth.
And
working
Perth.
Just a normal job.
Okay, yeah. Well, let the mob know. Who your mob were you from, Murray?
My mob. I was born here, but my parents came from Italy.
Yes.
Oh, God, am I 65 or 70 years ago?
Yeah, beautiful brother. Yes.
I moved to Perth a few years ago. But look, I've mentioned it before that your program always is uplifting. And,
thank you, brother.
We've got a really good breakfast program here.
Yes.
And the reason I'm here is that I called a couple of times last week and I must have missed you by 5 minutes, but you had a guest on your program last week and he mentioned and explained in depth about the reason we're going for the referendum and for the yes vote, which made sense. And what angered me, and I'm sure many moderate people, is the no vote and all of the negativity and the bullshit. And I'm sorry to use that word on your program.
Well, exactly, yeah. The so-called rednecks come out.
Exactly. All I've ever wanted, and I mentioned to you before, that when I worked up north, I worked in the Pilbara, and I worked with some of the most magnificent people I've ever met, and they were First Nations. I was very proud to work with those people. And what I would like, and I'm sure that most modern Australian people would like, is to go forward.
So well,
an
exactly.
olive branch. For God's sake, let's go forward instead of going around circles.
Murray, when you look at it, to be Australians, we all need to be in the same vehicle heading in the same direction. But we must acknowledge our past and our history, you know? They'll say, lest we forget, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And on both sides, there's
both
work
sides.
For both
of us
to work. But we've got to be one nation. We live on one continent. For God's sake, this negativity's got to stop. And I blame the mainstream media, which I take no part at all in.
Yep. Well, you're not born racist, are you?
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? Hello. Are you getting better or are you getting better?
I think in so many ways we're going backwards.
But, well, sure, exactly.
For this vote, I hope that it goes forward and for an olive branch between both of the nations and we can become one nation. That's what I would hope for.
Yeah, but if you look at it, we've got good people, as in black and white, and we've got bad people black and white, you know?
If
someone greets you with a nice smile, greet them back with a nice smile. I always say life is simple, people complicate it. Don't complicate it.
Exactly. But I'm complimenting you for your program. Your program is brilliant.
Thank you, brother.
Used to get it when I was up north because we were so remote.
Yeah.
That's all we got with Radio FM.
Well, they call it a radio app. You can always get a radio app and tune in, brother.
That's true. But we've got the radio here in the workshop. I'm back on the tools doing what I love.
Yeah, good.
And,
beautiful.
But just keep up the good work, mate, and we'll talk again.
Murray, thank you for your call. You take care. Keep smiling. We'll yarn soon, brother.
Good, lad. I look forward to it. Thanks for it.
Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there from Murray, and look, not Indigenous brother, and he's talking about the voice as well. He feels it's a fantastic vehicle, and as I point out, it's a committee that sits at the table, at the Parliament table, in regard to decisions that need to be made by for our First Nation people. We've got input. That's all it is. We've got no power with that voice to Parliament, so do not complicate it, and we're just at the table having conversations and helping make decisions become the right decisions for our people at grassroots level regarding life expectancy, employment. There's a lot of youth crime going on at the moment. Not all our black youth are doing the crime, but majority of them are. and we can help with that decision in regarding what we do with our youth, put culture back into their spirit and into their life, and they can make the right decision with that strong foundation. So that's the sort of thing that the voice of Parliament can do. So it's a good thing for the country. But look, if not this, then what? And look, if not a voice to Parliament, give us a treaty. You know what I mean? And that's maybe a long way to go there, but here we are, 21st century, and we've got nothing at the table. So, you know, and on these brothers and sisters, support us in regarding the yes. And for you who are thinking it's a no, get educated, get the right information in regarding before you make your decision. Have your say, Yanup Strong, add to the conversation. Maybe you want to talk about that here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416, with the ball you on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. It's a one-hour program, and we come to you live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. Go across the nation, thanks to the news. Too Deadly. Moochie!
Thinking about your body next to mine, gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey, love, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM. You say, but call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, just around the corner, KIAF, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, about to happen. It's about the, I think it's the 15th time running now. It's world-renowned. It's getting bigger than Ben-Hur. And look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with two Dilly performers who are performing at the Fashion Parade this year at KIAF. And this brother and sister duo here, Mikkel and Jaden Bingarab. And got them both online. Mikkel, Jaden, good morning. How are you?
Hey, morning, Uncle Trev. How are you?
Morning, Uncle Trev. We're good, thanks.
How are you? I'm well. Fantastic. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Well, our mob's from Cairns, Gimwe, Wallabari, Yidinji.
Okay.
We're born and bred here, born and bred in Cairns for our whole lives.
Yes.
Basically, since we started primary, we started traditional dancing and basically dancing our whole lives.
Yes.
And then we started getting more passionate and then started exploring more of the contemporary side of things.
Beautiful.
And then eventually traveled down south.
Okay.
Traveled down south. We started our studies at NASA Dance College.
Too Deadly.
So and now we're here.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic.
Now we're back in Kansas.
So, Jaden, you're the younger brother to Mikkel, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Mikkel, can you tell us about your dancing history as well, sister?
Yeah, cool. So I started dancing at a young age, like Jaden said. We kind of both started around the same time. We, you know, grew up watching mum dancing, so we just fell in love with it.
And big shout out to your beautiful mother, fantastic dancer, good performer, yes, and good mum.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so we started off in primary school just doing traditional stuff with the troops and whatnot, and then got in touch with Aunty Pauline Lambton, who runs Mirakai. Did that for about 6 to 7 years, and then that led us down, like Jaden said, to NASDA. And then we found our way back home, and now we've been asked to choreograph, which is just a great honour, really.
Oh, so you're choreographing this show for the Fashion Parade, is that right?
Yes. So we're performing and choreographing, yeah.
Too Deadly. That in itself is a feat, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, that, absolutely. You know, because we've worked with choir for many years through Mirakai, and just and in awe of the fashion show, you know, every chance we got to watch. So now being able to choreograph is just amazing, really.
Exactly, exactly. And so just paint the picture regarding the performance. So the Fashion Parade, the models out there modelling the beautiful fashion, and you guys will be sort of dancing around and promoting or get focus on the models and the fashion, yes?
Absolutely that, yes. So the theme this year is called Woven for the fashion show.
Okay.
And it's about, you know, interconnectivity of our people and the richness and just tapping into all things woven, I would say. And, so we're just there to enhance the amazing models and designs and whatnot. Out of the flesh.
No, fantastic. So how many dancers on stage at one time?
I guess that can vary. There'll be a few moments of maybe solos. Majority of the time of the actual dancing will most likely be both of us on stage.
Sure.
We do have Han Dawang doing the opening for us, so he's got his own stuff happening, which is amazing.
Good.
And I'm not too sure on what his plans are just yet, but he'll no doubt be dancing a bit here and there as well.
Well, it's a duo act. It's a sibling act, so look, fantastic. Looking forward to it. So you guys are performing when at KIAF? Do you have dates?
Yes, so we'll be the 13th and 14th of July.
Okay.
So the Thursday and Friday.
All right.
So we'll have a week rehearsal and then, show week.
Beautiful. So all the listeners out there, go to the KIAF webpage, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, and you'll see all the programming and be able to catch Mikael and Jaden Benarap performing at their fashion parade. And you're going to be excited when you're performing on your country. And look, a great space when we're talking about culture and First Nation culture. Look, best of both worlds, doing something you love and you're passionate about it. And I see it as a powerful tool in regard to education.
You know, absolutely that. We get to draw from our mob and our land and just, you know, the surroundings. I know there's a fair few designers that are from up this way, so it's just going to be amazing,
No, too deadly. Today, KIAF, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair. Tomorrow, the world, New York City, next, my sister and my brother, too deadly.
Fingers crossed. Thank you.
Thank you for the yarn. Love to Mum. Keep doing what you're doing. And looking forward to seeing you guys, how you say, shake booty? Yeah, is that the word?
Thank you so much, Uncle Trev. Thanks for having us.
One love. You take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Deadly yarn, beautiful yarn in there with Mikael and Jaden Benadrap, and they're performing at the Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, and they did a lot of their teachings from Mirakai Performing Arts, Pauline Lambton, they did mention, big shout out sister, a fantastic platform, and also coming from NASDA Dance College in New South Wales. So it's great to see that they are taking their career into the next step in choreographing as well as performing. That in itself is a feat. Too deadly. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, and deadly number here is 1-800-422-416.
Calling my phone, calling my phone. Yo, FaceTime, he wanna see my pretty face. What I do, he wanna know. He wanna know. Yeah. Well, my attention wanna keep me to himself. I told him keep it on the low. Keep it on the low, low. So good, I got him obsessed. Now he's stalking on my post. Stalking on my post. Spending money, take me shopping, he be doing the most. But I can never trust a soul. Baby, I'm by my business. I ain't playing games. Really, I hate chasing these minutes. With no makeup, I'm still the baddest. Shit in the building. He know I'm the realest. Think he catching feelings. But I gotta do me. When I didn't have it, where was everybody? Now I'm up, they wanna message me and say I'm sorry. They know I'm great, they told me don't forget me when you make it. But tell them where was your support when I came out from the pavement. If you love me, let me know. 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 Cause you got me in the zone. But I ain't really know. So if you love me, let me know. 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 Calling my phone. Calling my phone, yo. FaceTime, he wanna see my pretty face. What I do, he wanna know. He wanna know, yeah. Well, my attention wanna keep me to himself. I told him, keep it on the low. Keep it on the low, low. So good, I got him obsessed. Now he's stalking on my post. Stalking on my post. Spending money, take me shopping, he be doing the most. Can you hold me slowly? Nobody know me like you know me. Hold me slowly. Nobody, nobody, nobody. Can you hold me slowly, nobody know me like you know me. Hold me slowly, nobody, nobody, nobody.
Dinner one, dinner one, dinner one, dinner one.
Daily Track, Jillowin, Mitch Tambo here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We got Selwyn online. Selwyn, good morning.
Good morning, brother. I'm negative and I'm racist, brother. I'm one of the person.
Yes.
I'm negative. Brother, to say that there are only two First Nation people in this country, even before White Walls come here, is like saying there's only two kinds of music, country and Western. Mm. Yeah, biracial, Black Walls like me, brother. Yeah. Both. Jennings Kess and Aboriginal brother. And anyway, you know, recognition and what's the other one? Recognition and acknowledgement. Brother, you know, Murray, I don't know if that's his real name. Mm. Blackfellas, we network and, you know, won't be too hard for people to acknowledge who I am and where I'm from. But I don't know that bloke. In 2018, there was a white fellow. He was on walkabout here, brother. You might remember that. He was on walkabout, and a full-blood Aboriginal girl, he recognized and acknowledged her because she had a voice, and he recognized her and acknowledged her. And, he was a para. He was a wanga. That's two languages from up north, beside Miglu and white fellow. And para, I think that's their language. But I'm kind of laughing. Yeah. But I'm like choking up too, brother, because I'm sad. But that Murray girl, did he call her, brother? Mm-hmm. And that man today, he's the king. Yeah. You know, when the king was Prince Charles, he was walking. And he went over to him and he's young with him. He acknowledged him, recognized him. And that shows that, you know, people can recognize.
Sure.
You know, a black person too, brother. And I went to that thing on Sunday. I went a bit late down there when they're going to give feedback about the voice. I was doing some other things only. And when I did go there, brother, and I said to him, I said, I wonder how many full-blood black fellows are going to be there, brother.
Mm.
And I didn't see anybody. We were just ready to pack up. But, you know, you go on the social media and a lot of them know social media sites, those racist fellas. They said, they say things like, oh, the black folk, the Aboriginal see today, wasn't it? It was the pygmy people here, and they killed them all out, brother.
Mm.
They wiped them all out. And bugging me dead, I went down there on Sunday, and I called him grandfather. And my granny, she's short. She was born in Mount Windsor, and she went to Mount Ormond, and a lot of people like that, you know, more people like that, but they called them, they wiped them out. There's a whole history of our people being wiped out by you know, Obama was wiped out. And anyway, brother, I was gonna talk, but I went a bit late. I was gonna stand up in front with that, what they were gonna give me. I was gonna talk, and you know, I often talk about Lydia Thorpe. She got moral. She's not a moral coward, you know, brother. A lot of people talk, but she has got a moral coward, and she does a lot of things to get coverage that maybe don't cover before, and I like it. And anyway, brother, when I said I'd get well off to Sam Bacow, brother, I don't know how he is, brother, but the second Black Lives Matter march protest, and I went to it, and I stood up in front, and I listened to Uncle Goody-Good talk, you know, and when Uncle Goody-Good tell the story of his partner, they went back to Ireland, brother,
yes.
And he's telling how shocked he was that his missus had a $300 home, year old, that the same house that's 300 years old, the same house.
Yes.
And I think about your business partner, Abraham
Collins.
And how he said, you know, we fight for land like people, always say we, but he said people fight for land like two ticks on a dog. They fight who owns the dog, two ticks on the dog, who owns the dog. And I got started about that because there's a fellow named Doug. I forgot his name, story about him. He was orphaned, and they took him down to the White House, grew him up, and he was a rainforest bomber. He was one of them fellows, and it was a massacre up there. Anyway, he was on that property up before, over 100 G's, And it goes to show that, to me, it all adds to me, like in Holland, that home they were portrayed, and this was less than 200 years that a lot of black folks lost their land up, and yet over in Ireland, they still got to see. And the point I want to make at it, brother, the Irish people, they like us, they have illegal occupation by the English, and they have a voice in Parliament. But it wasn't until the Brexit, the Mexican stand of Brexit, eh? Mm. That it was the EEC, the Economic European Economic Community, recognized and acknowledged Irish sovereignty and Irish sovereignty, even though they had a voice in Parliament. And one more, brother, you know, like I said, that to say to the, you know, there's no other nation of people, the only country, like only Aboriginal, but they're biracial people, they're like me. And I watched that story that Freely Glynn was on NITV, Freely Glynn, brother, and I've been there for over an hour, I think, and I watched Jetta as well. And, brother, the only commercial come on with bowel cancer about you, brother, were you talking bowel cancer. Yes. It's like saying there are no other commercial beside your commercial, which is untrue. And what I'm saying to you, brother, when you say, oh, well, what else is there, brother? And to that, I tell you, sort of Mario, whoever you are, to say that everybody else is racist, that say no, that. And I say, like, I feel like saying, F me dead, brother. Very much like F me dead. The white folks can have different attitude, a different opinion or disagreement with the other white fellows. And they got Pauline Nielsen and bloody liberal and independent. And they were saying no to the thing, but they're not classed as bloody negative, you know, brother. Mm. Everybody allowed to have different opinion, brother.
Yeah,
and I've got a lot to say about this, but not just now, brother. But thank you, brother, for letting me have my say, brother.
Thank you, Salwan. Thank you. Too deadly. And it's time for Trinity Trevor Sonoff. Happy NAIDOC to you, Mob. We've got the news coming up via NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out to the NERS team. And thank you for listening, you Mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.